The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Pollaert, CEO of Vast Resources. VAST is a ticker there. Andrew, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin. Nice to be here.
Yeah, exactly. Nice to be anywhere these days. So you've had two bits of big news out. Base supply, JORC resource and reserve report and final results. And we've got a long list of comprehensive questions from investors to put to you. So let's attack it. Let's start. Are you ready, Andrew?
I'm ready.
It's quite a few here. Okay. When will we know the minimum Mercuria will ask for as for off-taking each month?
Well, we've already announced that, to be honest with you. We've said that between 350 and 400 will be shipped early November from the October production. And moving forward, anything really over 200 tonnes will be accepted just on the copper basis alone. So it was really about the first one, and the reason for that was because the initial production is always a little bit lower quality, so we had to make sure that we maintain a minimum quality, which we've achieved, and that will go out sometime during the first part of November, and it's purely on availability of the shipping vessels that are selected by the buyer.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, and what is your response to the JORC results, above or below expectations?
Well, the JORC was fantastic. We're really happy with the results. There's a bit of a misconception in the market. We've had a lot of questions coming in through the information line. What I want to do is try and put to bed the fact that people don't realise that we've got 608,000 tonnes of new deposit, which is in the current mining area. Historically, all the resource that was mentioned under the Russian code that's up on our website still stands. It still forms part of the exploration area. But the reality is we've now got this extra 600,000 tonnes on top of that 1.8 million tonnes. So the resource has increased theoretically from 1.8 million tonnes to 2.4, and we've identified another 1.2 million tonnes. So now we've got 3.6 million tonnes. But the reality is that JORC has a strict set of guidelines, and you cannot include it in your measured, indicated, or inferred because it has to follow an audit trail. And that 1.8 million tonnes was derived many years ago under a different code. JORC is extremely strict, and you have to have your collars, your cores, you have to have an audit trail of your analysis, which assays, where the assays were taken from, so that the data sets that need to comply to be in one of the three categories of a JORC didn't apply to the historic code, and it's become more and more difficult to put it into code. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist because under, you know, from history tells us that the Russian code is actually more diligent than JORC because they used to do a lot more work. However, it cannot be in there. So those old grades still stand, and this is just additional area because they didn't used to test the current area of mining historically, so we had to do it for ourselves to know where we're going next, where we are mining now, where are we going to be for the next 3 years, because as a modern mining company, we need to plan our mining properly. It's not just hit and miss.
Marvellous stuff. Okay. In regards to base supply, when does Vast expect to be cash flow positive?
Well, the reality is, and we put this into an RNS on the 7th of September, that from the first few months of production, as long as we meet those minimum targets that we've set out in those cash forecasts over the next 24 months, Baitsa on a standalone basis will be cash flow positive on by itself after the second month of production. So that's a pretty phenomenal achievement for an asset that, you know, we bought for $600,000. We've held it for 5 years. The majority of the money's been spent since the license was granted just on 2 years ago. It's the anniversary the other day. We've put it into production in just over 8 months from when we got finance. And normally companies sit there and spend tens of millions of dollars on reports, hundreds of millions of dollars on infrastructure, and are 10 years from production. So this is a remarkable achievement for the team, and we're extremely happy and with the asset we've got, and the potential is phenomenal.
Yeah. If possible, will full production be earmarked earlier than expected?
Well, that all depends on timing of the new equipment moving forward. We are, as I said, we put a conservative plan there. Full production is earmarked for, I think, May next year, but we're working on increasing that as we speak. They're still working underground and in the flotation. It all depends on deliveries of new equipment, which would normally come in after the new year. If we can accelerate that, we will most definitely do so.
What percentage of BP has been jorked so far?
Has been jorked.
Yeah.
To put it into context, it's just over 7 square kilometres. The area, which is Antonio North, which is a single skarn out of 16 skarns, they've mined down to level 17, although there is still a lot in the higher areas because you've got to remember this thing's been mined efficiently. It's been going back to the 1200s, but since the 50s, where a cutoff grade of copper used to be 4% in the 50s and 60s, so there is plenty, and part of that other Russian code resource is sitting in the upper levels, which we'll go back to. But I would say that less than 5% of the mining area is the area that we're talking about with the potential 3 million tonnes or 3.6 million tonnes. So put it into context that this 600,000 tonnes over the next 3 years is a fraction, is de minimis in the grand scheme of things. So the upside of Baeza is quite phenomenal.
Yeah. The next question is, why didn't Vast do a full jork? How much would it cost? How long would it take?
To do a full jork? Well, first of all, it costs millions and millions of dollars to jork that area. So it's something that we'll do as we progress. We'll do it 2 to 3 years at a time. We're planning on doing the next 7 to 8 years after this 3 years of mining, starting in January. We're going to continue with the exploration program because the cash flow generation allows us to do so. But to jork the entire area would cost tens of millions of dollars. That's why it wasn't done. So we've done what we've needed to be able to get into production and to know where we're going to mine for the next 3 years, which assists the drilling, assists with the refinancing possibilities. The jork itself really doesn't have an impact on the finance. We're so advanced anyway.
Okay. You may have covered some of these off, but in regards to the jork RNS, it states historical resources are downgraded. What does this mean?
Well, I think that was a misinterpretation of some of the shareholders in the social media. They thought that 608 was instead of the original 1.8 that was posted from the historic data. So it's not downgrading at all. This is additional grade. You've got to amortise that exploration target over the additional 1.2 million that is in the exploration area. So we've put those ranges in there. So it hasn't been downgraded at all. In fact, it's increased not only the quality, but it's also increased the quantum of the resource itself.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And what is your expected NPV and market cap from this current jork?
I mean, even if you look at the cash flows that were delivered on the 7th of September, and it shows that in 2021 it'll generate about $9 million in free cash, moving, I think, into just over 12 million for 10 months of 2022. So over 12 months, it's about $14.5 million with free cash. And that's without any higher grade, taking into account any higher grade at depth. So at 14 million on a PE of 10 for a European jurisdiction, I think the shareholders should be able to do their own calculations there. But, you know, we've done our own NPV models. Last December there was done one broken up given by SP Angel, which now will be revised now that the jork's been published. So hopefully they're busily working on that. So, but our NPV models, just on what we've got in hand, you know, exceeds over $100 million, and on a PE of 10 based on our cash flows, that's $140 million. But, shareholders can do that math themselves.
Okay. Why has there been no RNS for first sales yet?
Well, we have RNS. We were RNS, in fact, last week, I think, that we are hitting our targets for the October production, and the shipping will be in early November. So the first sale comes. Effectively, what happens is the containers are stuffed. The analysis is done before the containers are sealed. It's shipped to port. Once it gets loaded on the vessel, we get paid within 24 hours. So it's all a matter of availability of vessels. So we're just waiting for our off-taker to provide us with those shipping details, and the shipper will be sold.
Excellent. In terms of Zimbabwe JV, will Atlas T2 and 3 still be used, or will refinancing cover this?
Well, the refinancing is specific for Romania, so it will only be to pay out part of the, well, the remainder of T1 Atlas and for further exploration and expansion of Baiza, and then we'll start looking at other projects. But at the moment, the focus of the company in Romania is Baiza and Baiza alone. And the Zimbabwe JV, we have the option of still utilising T2, T3 and T4 of Atlas. We'll address that when the joint venture comes. There are potentially other financing opportunities as well.
Okay. I don't know which part this refers to, but when do you expect the finance deal to be completed and cash in the bank?
We are an S that we're expecting a binding term sheet by the end of November. That was the feedback from the bank, that the final credit committee approval is going to be somewhere in the first week of December. We're working busily on documentation now. The due diligence on site has been completed. The bank is waiting for the final reports, which should come out somewhere in mid-month, in mid-November, so they can give us the term sheet end of November. And hopefully we'll be able to draw down during the course of December after that final credit committee approval. And we certainly hope that it'll be approved.
Yeah. Are you hoping VAST's connection with Mark speeds up processes in Zimbabwe?
When we put it in there, we knew that, you know, Mark is taking on a very, very important role in the diamond sector in Zimbabwe. And because he was the best man for the job, he is the best man for the job, which is why we took him in the first place. He's needed to assist in the restructuring of the ZCDC. So he went back there. As we've stated, he's welcome to come back when he's finished his mandate there. We do correspond with him, as he is now our counterpart towards the joint venture. I don't think that any conflict of interest is there. I don't think it'll speed it up. I think just his presence at ZCDC will speed up the process of joint ventures within the diamond space, because that was his mandate to do so. So I think that the connection to Mark is, let's say, it's not definitely not a negative, but he's doing his job with a full disclosure, and I think just his... just the point that he's going to be doing his job is going to speed up the process.
In regards to the RNS for Mananiya, can you give a timeline on when you expect recommencement of production and also work on, Kalibaba extension?
Well, Manaila and Kalibaba are the same mine. They're literally, you know, metres away from each other. The Manaila open pit is the one that we mined for several years, and that's almost completely depleted now. The reason why we put it on care and maintenance is that, you know, historically the plan was to put a plant at the pit from day one. The previous management decided they didn't want to invest in a plant because it was profitable. We first opened at the higher grades, at the higher levels. As we went deeper, the grade dropped and the costs increased. So when I took over as CEO, the first thing we did is we looked at it, said we don't want to deplete the resource because it's still profitable if the plant was at the pit. We then decided to work on Baiza as the main focus because of its near-term cash and because of the quality of the asset. And we will definitely go back to Manaila, but the priority at the moment is Baiza. Once that's in full production, we're talking to third-party investors and financiers and private equity. Once Manaila can be financed independently on a standalone basis, whether it's with the current bank that we're working with now or another institution, that's when we'll reopen it. We're doing what we need to do from a policy of government to maintain the license. We've just been granted a 5-year extension, so we have plenty of time to go back there, and we can renew it every 5 years as long as we can prove there's resource under the Romanian legislation. So it's still on hold, and there's no plan to reopen it in the near term. It's probably sometime next year or the year after.
Cool. Okay. Can you tell us more information on the financier and what the finance will be for and future plans?
At the moment, it is purely focused on taking out Atlas T1 and further capex and expansion in Baiza to accelerate not only production but increase production, potentially increase resource. There is the option there to extend that facility for things like Manaila and other projects within Romania, potentially Romania in the future if the legislation changes and the availability of those mines becomes to private investment. So there's a lot of opportunity there, but specifically at the moment, the first part of the banking facility will be for Baiza and Baiza alone, but with the option to expand and borrow further money subject to the projects that we're looking at.
Yeah, okay. When are you to announce new off-takers, zinc and moly? Questions after both of them.
I mean, at the moment, the focus is on copper because it is the highest yield for the company when the second mine comes, even though we did start a zinc float to get it going because we're stockpiling that. Once we have a sufficient quantity, we'll probably end up doing as a spot deal or potentially do an offtake finance to expand on the zinc lines as well. But we have no plans of selling the zinc before December as per the cash flows. And once we've got a decent quality, we're going to put it out for tender. We're talking to several off-takers at the moment. And we believe as soon as we're ready to sell the first zinc, that we'll sign up with an off-taker. And the same thing goes for molybdenum. Mm-hmm.
Has anything changed in Zimbabwe regarding the JV?
Not really. I mean, nothing's happening in Zimbabwe as far as new joint ventures, other than the government's become more proactive. I think with Mark being in the seat at the ZCDC, things will move relatively quickly, but you've got to give the man some time to get his thoughts together and restructure, which is what he's in the process of doing. So nothing's changed there, except that we're still very confident that we'll be proceeding with the community concession.
Mm-hmm. Did you miscalculate what was needed in regards to money due to the amount of placings?
No, not at all. We maintain budget for Baitza. We didn't go over budget. The timing was an issue. We were 2-3 months late. COVID had a bigger effect than originally anticipated because we couldn't get Craig into country. We also did a management restructure within Baitza, which caused a delay. When you're in the process of building a mine at rapid speed, as I said, 8 months to restart a mine was quite phenomenal, and it's credit to the team, especially the local team. They've done a phenomenal job to get to where we are today. These things happen and they do cost more money, but putting it into perspective that, as I said, when we spent $10-12 million, including acquisition and holding charges for over the life of the mine, to have a mine that's worth 10 times that and be cash flow positive within the first 2 months of commencement, I think, in the grand scheme of things, quite de minimis. I understand the frustration of shareholders, but to be honest with you, we've done a great service to the shareholders, including myself, who's invested quite a lot of money in not only shares but into the asset itself. And a 10 times return on investment is quite phenomenal. So we're not, we wouldn't call it a miscalculation. We'd just say that it was necessary to get the mine into operation, which is the priority of the business to move ahead long term.
Okay, and this may overlap, but I'll leave the best to last, Andrew. How do you expect investors in the market to have faith in the board given the volume of placings?
I think the asset will speak for itself. Once it's in production and people see the quantum of earnings it's going to attract and the value of the asset itself, I think and I hope that all will be forgiven.
Excellent stuff. Andrew, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.